I hope you've had a blessed day. We continue to ask the question, what happens when we pray? And tonight we focus on verse 10 of Matthew 6. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want to suggest to you tonight that when we pray this verse, we grow stronger in spiritual warfare. And as an introduction, I want to say three things. First of all, the kingdom of God was before Jesus. The kingdom of God has always been. God has always been on his throne. Psalm 103, verse 9. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Secondly, the kingdom of God was ushered in by Jesus. Jesus himself used the word the kingdom 98 times. It was at the heart of his ministry. It was at the heart of his message. Jesus said, the kingdom of God has come. It's near. It's among you. It is actually within you. And the kingdom of God is the reign and the rule of God over the spiritual and the physical realm. Remember Matthew 11, when John the Baptist was in prison, just about to die, and he sent his servant to Jesus, and he asked Jesus this question, are you the one? Are you the anointed one? Are you the king of the kingdom? And Jesus said to the servant, go back and reply this to John, that the blind see, the lame walk, the sick are healed, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. In other words, tell John that the king of the kingdom is here and God's kingdom has come. Now, it seems to me from this verse that God, in his wisdom, has chosen to release his kingdom, release his reign, release his power and his rule when we, his people, cry, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When we cry, let your kingdom come on our lives, on the family, on the church, on the community, on the nation, God responds to that cry. You know, sometimes we need to take the authority that God has given to us over different situations to bring the reign and the rule of God so that the will of God will be fulfilled. Let me give you an example of this. When we were applying for planning permission to build a new church in Amersham, we had to go to the council and put in an application for the build. On the evening the application was presented, 13 councillors voted against it, and one councillor voted for it. After the meeting, the man who had presented the application, he said to me, Paul, did you feel the hostility that there was against the church and not the house and complex? And I had to agree with him, I did. I said to him, yeah, I did feel a hostility against the church, even although we'd been in the community for 220 years. He looked at me and he said this, Paul, would you present the next application for this project? It was in excess of £15 million, this project. And I said to him, yes, I will. And the night came for the presentation in the chambers. And the Lord said to me this, Paul, this is nothing to do with a building. This is to do with the manifest presence of God in the community. This is to do with the reign and the rule of God and the will of God for this community. And so with all the authority that Christ had given me, I prayed that his kingdom would come, that his reign and his rule would come in that chamber. And I did my presentation, and the votes came in, and we had 13 for and one against. I say to you this evening, things happen in the spiritual and in the physical realm when we prayed, your kingdom come. Thirdly, this kingdom of God has an opposing kingdom, and it's called the kingdom of Satan. It's called the kingdom of darkness. It's called the kingdom of evil. And they are without doubt in constant conflict with each other, and they always will be. Now, as we engage in spiritual warfare in the kingdom of God, for the kingdom of God, against the kingdom of the enemy, I want to encourage you to do two things before we pray together tonight. First of all, I want you to be alert. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 says this: be alert and of sober mind, for your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Peter says, the enemy is real. The enemy is fierce. The enemy is cunning, and he's out to get you. He's out to rob and to steal and to destroy all that is good. And I'm speaking from experience here. I just want to share my heart for a few moments. 6 months into our amazing building project, I became ill with exhaustion. I lived, I ate, I slept the building project. I led my staff team with over 12 within it. I led my leadership team. I led the church with over 300 in it to their destiny. And in so doing, I was physically, mentally, spiritually exhausted. And in my lowest moments, the enemy came and he said this. He said, you know what? You're finished. He said to me, you will never go back to that again. And you will never, ever preach. And I must say this, that Liz was an incredible support to me during those 4 months. I couldn't have made it through without her. Physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, she was an inspiration to me. But one day, one of my friends came to pray with me, and he says this, he says, Paul, the enemy is trying to take you out. But just like Peter, Jesus is praying for you, and you will come back stronger than ever before. And he did. And I'm here speaking to you tonight because of the kindness and the goodness and the grace of God. But hear this, the truth is, I was so busy for God that I didn't spend enough time with God. And you can do that in ministry. You are so busy doing things for God that you don't spend time with God. And this was a trick of the enemy. Isn't it wonderful to know that Jesus is praying for us as we fight the good fight, and as we engage in this spiritual warfare? Is it not encouraging to know that greater is he that is within you, is greater than he that's in the world? And all his lies and all his tactics will be defeated. Be assured of that. But please, in the midst of spiritual warfare, be alert. Secondly, I want to encourage you to be dressed for the warfare. In the context of spiritual warfare, Paul writes this in Ephesians 6, verses 10 and 11. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, and put on the full armor of God in order that you might take a stand against the devil and his schemes. And then Paul highlights the belt and the breastplate, the shield, the helmet, and the shoes. But then he says why we should be dressed for battle, why we should be dressed for warfare in verse 12, because it's a spiritual battle against the rulers, against the authorities and the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil. You see, there is a dress code for prayer. There is a dress code for spiritual warfare that we should wear every single day of life that will protect us and that will keep us safe from the enemy. Paul says, along with that armor, we need to be equipped, we need to be anointed, we need to operate in our passion and in our gifting. I want to close this evening with a passage which God has laid on my heart for you as a church tonight and for you as individuals. And you find it in 2 Kings chapter 2. I'm sure you know the story well. We find the story of Elijah being taken up into heaven. And his young understudy, Elisha, he longs for a double portion of God's Spirit. Elijah says to him, "This will only happen if you see me go." Elijah is taken up in the chariot of fire, and Elisha sees him go. And then he does a really interesting thing. He picks up Elijah's cloak, and the cloak was a sign of calling. The cloak was a sign of an anointing. It was a sign of destiny. It was a sign of gifting. It was a sign of a new season. So Elijah, he goes to the bank of the Jordan and he strikes the water with the cloak, and the water parted. The double portion has come. And as I have prepared for tonight, I felt the Lord say that we should not only wear the armor that God has provided for us, but we should wear the cloak. You see, you have a cloak with your name on it. It's been tailor-made for you, and it belongs to you and nobody else. And that cloak, it speaks of your calling and your passion and your gifting and your anointing. As you stand in the battle for God and as you fight the good fight for the kingdom of God. And for some of us, there is a new cloak, because you're entering, hear this, you're entering, even in lockdown, you're entering a new season in the kingdom of God. I went to a church just over a year ago, and this young man stood before me. And as I prayed for him, I saw the Lord wrap this cloak around him. And as I looked at the cloak, I saw these stripes on his shoulders. And the Spirit of God said to me, "This young man has been raised up for a position of leadership. There is a calling upon his life for leadership. There is an anointing on his life for leadership. And I will give him the gifting that he needs to do all that I've called him to do. I want you to tell him." So I stood before this young man. I said, "I see a cloak and I see these stripes, and I sense God's lifting you up. He's raising you up to a position of leadership. It's not of your choice. You don't long for this position. You don't want this position, but it's God's calling on your life. And he has promised to equip you by his Spirit this young man fell to his knees and he wept before God. The pastor was standing next to me and he whispered in my ear, "We only asked this young man this week if he would consider becoming the associate pastor." There is a new cloak for a new season that we need to receive for 2021. And as we continue to pray throughout this week, "Let your kingdom come," I want to encourage you to stand in the authority that you have as a child of God. Let's be alert to the enemy and his schemes. And let's be dressed both in the armor that God has provided and the cloak that we have received, so that we will see the manifestation of his presence and his kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. It is possible when we pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And as we do, we will grow stronger in spiritual warfare. May God bless you. Amen.